So as I said at the beginning, for the next 2 weeks here in the holidays, we're going to be doing something a little different for our sermons, our teaching times together. We're going to be looking at a couple of the big questions that people have given me after I've been asking you for that since the start of the year. And so this week we're going to look at the question, what is the Trinity, or what does the Trinity mean? And next week we ask about the question, how should Christians understand the laws in the Old Testament? So as we're starting, just think, what makes something a big question? I think that a big question of this kind is something that actually takes a certain amount of study from a variety of perspectives for us to understand. In Christianity, a big question is one that you really need perhaps to look at more than one passage of the Bible to start to answer. And you may also need to investigate things like theology, philosophy, or history to understand even what the question is and what its significance is. And big questions like this also usually affect lots of practical issues in our faith in a variety of areas, and how we try to live as Christians, even if we don't know that they are. And so they're important, these sort of big questions, but we don't often talk about them in church because that's not what a sermon is for. In a sermon, it's an explanation and an application of one particular Bible passage usually. So as we look at our big question today, it may not feel at the beginning like I'm giving you a sermon. We'll start at a bit of a higher level than that. But as I go on, I will try and focus more clearly on the Bible reading that we had from 1 John chapter 4 and think about how that question applies to our lives today. So a big question today is, what does the Trinity mean? And this question actually came to us from two of our Kids Connect kids over the summer. And that was the reason why I decided to do this type of sermon this year. People are asking questions. We should try and answer them. So thank you to the guys who asked us that question. It's a really complicated one, though, but it's a very important one. And it's actually, I think, basically the most fundamental question of Christianity. So I want to explain basically what the Trinity is and where this idea has come from. So you may notice that when we say prayers in church, we often end the prayer with something like, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And those names, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, are three names that we use when we talk about God or we're talking to God. God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. This is the idea of the Trinity. The Trinity is the belief that there is only one God, but that there are three persons that are God. And we know those persons by names that describe their relationships to each other, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we think about the word Trinity. The word tri means three, and unity means one. And if you can put them together, you get Trinity. And so it means three in one. So this idea of the Trinity is the basic thing that Christians believe about who God is. And it's what makes Christianity different or distinct from other world faiths, such as Islam or Judaism, and to an extent Buddhism or other Eastern religions. And belief in the Trinity, as our understanding of God, is what often distinguishes what we call Orthodox Christianity from other Christian groups, like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. So orthodox means this is, we believe, the correct understanding about who God is. Now, the first thing that you might notice about the idea of the Trinity is that it sort of doesn't seem to make sense as an idea. We seem to be combining the ideas of one and three in ways that are confusing. So people would ask, how can there only be one God if there are three persons who are God? Wouldn't that mean there are three gods? And if you start to think about these sort of questions too hard, your mind will start to do funny things, which is kind of the point. The reason behind this is that the Trinity is the way that Christians have actually balanced and held together different things that we learn about God from the Bible, from what Jesus taught, and from our own experience of God. And doing that actually starts to make us think about God and the world in a whole new way, and it does stretch our minds as far as they can go. And it actually took the Christian church a very long time to figure out properly how to talk about God and the Trinity. There were huge discussions and arguments for the first 500 years of the church, and eventually there were very large conferences called councils of the church that were dedicated to this particular question, among others. The main one we know of, or we read about in history, was a big meeting in the city of Nicaea, which is in modern-day Turkey, where the bishops from the various churches in all the different places around the Mediterranean got together to argue this out, and this was in 325 AD. And they eventually, probably took them about 50 years, came up with what we call the Nicene Creed, which is an attempt to properly describe what Christians should believe about God and the Trinity. And we still do sometimes say the Nicene Creed today at church. And later in the service, after my sermon, we're going to sing a song which is based on another creed called the Apostles' Creed, which also mentions and explains the Trinity. And so after that time, Christians have been continually describing and discussing and reflecting on the idea of the Trinity since then, up until today. Now, this may start to sound like sort of boring historical lecture and facts and about a strange idea of one God and three persons and all the rest. And so it is a bit obscure for a lot of people. And so we do need to know why this idea of the Trinity was so important to Christians and is still so important. Basically, as I've said up there, the reason that this is important is that we believe that the Trinity is what you need to believe about God if the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. So let me say, the Trinity is what you need to believe about God if the gospel of Jesus is true. In the ancient world and today, most people have one of two fundamental beliefs about what we mean when we say God or who God is. So when you say the word God, you're really talking about what's the ultimate reality or the fundamental thing, the highest supreme being perhaps. And so on the one hand, many people believe that God is a kind of very separate thing from our world, completely separate from the world we live in. God is so powerful and glorious and special that he can't have anything to do with the world personally. And people believe that God, even if God is good, is very distant and very far away from us and has nothing to do with the ordinary world. So that's one thing that a lot of people feel and believe. Alternately, some people believe that God, the opposite, that God is everything. So God is completely in everything and is the same thing as the world, including all the good bits and all the bad bits. However, what Christians have come to believe is kind of both of those things at once. So we believe that God is the creator. God is greater than the visible world. God made it. And so the creation is actually a different thing to God, and it's not just God. And the bad bits in the world are not part of God at all. But we do believe also that God is inside our world, supporting it and sustaining it. God is directly connected to people as well, is not distant. And we believe that because of two things. Firstly, because of Jesus. We believe that Jesus was God with us, God coming into our world. And we also believe, secondly, that God's Holy Spirit, his personal presence, lives in us and surrounds the whole world and everything in it. And Jesus taught us that he came from God the Father in order to save the world and to bring us to God. And so in order to believe that this good news of Jesus, this gospel, is true, we need to believe in the Trinity or something like it. We need to believe that the Father who made the world is truly God. We need to believe that the Son of God, Jesus, who came into the world, is truly God. And we need to believe that the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts is truly God. All those persons are truly and fully God. If they're not, we have not been saved by God. And Jesus' gospel is not true. The Nicene Creed was written because a lot of people at the time were arguing that, well, yes, we believe that God the Father is the real God, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we say maybe they're created things, creatures that God made so that he could somehow communicate with us and save human beings. But at that council, they said, if that's true, if Jesus isn't really God, if he was only just made, then he cannot bring us any closer to God than we are anyway. He's just like us. He cannot save us. And so, as I said, if we believe in the gospel of Jesus, if we believe that we're saved through faith in Jesus, we need to believe in the Trinity. The New Testament doesn't make sense otherwise. Okay, so that's my basic point to you today. And there's so much more detail, though, in understanding about the Trinity and so many different ways and this idea can come into our theology, our philosophy, our understanding of God and the world. But I hope after what I've said, you do understand a bit about what it is and why it's important and what this idea is trying to say. Because I think this idea is what makes Christian faith real and alive today, to believe in God, the Trinity. And so when we turn to our reading today from 1 John chapter 4, we can see how that's true in practice. This is like an example of that. It is difficult, I think, to imagine a more Trinitarian passage of the Bible than this one. Okay? What does it say? The famous words that it has here in verse 16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So the nature of God, John is saying, what God is love. And John says too that this is us. This is because within God there is this ultimate relationship of love. The Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, they love each other. The Trinity is a community of love. And this love between the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the love of God, goes out then into creation towards us. And that's why Jesus came to the world to save it, because it's God loves it. In verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And to have faith in Jesus means to invite God's love into our hearts. And so the more that we know that love, the more that we know God, because God is love. And his Spirit is able to live within us and show us that love. And so what John is teaching us is that this Trinity is the God of love. And this God invites us to join him in the life of love that God has. And that's how we know who God really is. In verse 12, John says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And that's practically, in real life, what the Trinity means and what it tells us. It means that God is love. And the more we grow in our experience of love and the ability to love others, we become like God, the Trinity. And without the Trinity, we wouldn't be able to say that God is love, because there would be no basis for that. So I think the answer to our big question today is that, what does the Trinity mean? It means that God is love. The Trinity means that God is love. And so this does affect our everyday Christian life. The Trinity lets us know that our faith is a living and growing spiritual reality. We are able to have a direct personal relationship with God, to come close to God, because God has come close to us. We are not just obeying divine commands from coming to us from on high, from a faraway God, or following his religious rules. We are being invited into this intimate relationship of love with God and the community of the Trinity that exists from eternity. And that is the point of the Christian faith. And so when we pray, when we worship, or we do anything good in God's name, that's part of our Christian discipleship. It is God working within us, the Trinity, that allows us to do that. And it's God around us and God above us that's making our work meaningful and effective. He's with us. Every time we experience God in any way, we are experiencing the full personal presence of the persons of the Trinity in our lives. And I believe that experience is heaven. That's what heaven is, the kingdom of God that Jesus taught us about. It is living within the Trinity and their life. So one of the realities with this particular big question is that no one properly and really understands the Trinity in their head. No one, I can tell you. It's very complicated from an intellectual point of view, and in the end, it's probably beyond our ability to understand it, because it's beyond our categories of thought. But it's okay then, if you don't get it, or you feel that it's too hard to understand. But I think that everyone who, with their heart, is wanting to know God and to wanting to love God and to love other people, really knows what the Trinity is all about, as much as we need to know in this life. So that's my answer. I hope that's all I've got to say today. I'm sure there's more that could be said. Thanks for spending the time with me. I hope it's been helpful. No, thank you. And if you want to talk more about in more detail about it, happy to do so. But that's what we've got for today. So let's invite God more deeply into our life today so that his love lives within us. And we're going to stand now and we're going to sing about what we believe and hopefully sing with a deeper appreciation this song, which is called This I Believe. It's a song of the Apostles' Creed, speaking about our faith in God the Trinity. So let's stand and let's sing together.